It's City Talk, Mayor Dan Alexander, Riley Johnson, right here next to you on your radio. Appreciate you so much being tuned in today. And you know, this is always special when we get these guests in. And it's been a while since we've had some in-studio guests talking about Baby Smart. And I've got Janice Garcia in here right now, and she's got some special guests with her. I'm going to let her do all the introductions because she's arranged this whole thing. So, Janice, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Riley. And good morning to all you listeners. I am a volunteer for Baby Read. If you do not know what Baby Read is, it's a local organization serving Oconee County families with children between the ages of birth and 3 years old. Our mission is to develop a love of reading in these children and prepare them to be successful when they enter K-4 or kindergarten. My co-host is Kathy Whitmire, a member of our advisory board. Kathy has served the Oconee County School District for over 30 years as a teacher and administrator, and is presently the owner of the Center for ADHD, where she works with children on emotional regulation, focus, and attention. Our guest today is Mrs. Ashley Ellison. Mrs. Ellison just finished her 10th year teaching in early childhood education. With a bachelor's degree in early childhood and a master's in educational administration, both from the University of South Carolina, she is passionate about teaching young children to love learning, specifically reading. She's the mother of a 4-year-old boy and a 1-year-old girl, so she is a busy lady. For fun, she likes to read fantasy and historical fiction, to hike and travel with her family. They're halfway to their goal of seeing all the U.S. national parks. Ashley, as an expert in early childhood education, at what age would you recommend that parents start reading to their children?
Oh, it's never too early to start reading to your children. In fact, even in utero, infants can hear as early as 27 to 29 weeks, so some recommend starting to read there, although it can feel a bit silly to just read to your room hoping that your unborn child can hear. But as soon as possible, is never too early to start.
What do you say to parents who tell you that they've tried reading to their baby, but the baby isn't interested, and so they have given up for now?
Well, babies obviously have a very short attention span, so reading to them, even if they are playing in the room or laying on a play mat with you, reading books that make noise or that they can interact with, books that have interesting pictures or that have textures that they can feel, having conversations with those books. Reading to infants is just as much about developing the relationship with your infant and developing that love for reading from an early age and making sure they associate reading with a loving relationship as it is about reading the book itself.
Do you have a comment, Kathy?
Amen. I think that oftentimes we get stuck with just the process of reading and don't realize how encompassing it is in relationship to other areas. And the relationship, the positivity, the bonding that occurs early on, there are a lot of sub-skills that go on as far as things like visual tracking, auditory processing. I love that statement, Ashley. That's good.
I feel so fortunate. I had two children who were almost polar opposites of each other. The older one would sit from the time before she could sit and would pay attention to the book and look at the book and read the book herself. And the other one never could sit in your lap to do that. But she played at my feet while I read to the older one. They've both grown to be readers, and they are raising children who are readers. So I do see your point. It is, you can start as early as possible. How often should parents read to their children? Should it really be every night?
Yes and no. Reading does not have to happen at night. It's more so about developing a love for reading and making it part of your everyday experience than it is for reading at night. But yes, you do want to read to and with and listen to your children read daily. With you know, reading for our family happens most often at night because it's an important part of our bedtime routine. It's that time of night where we settle down and we cuddle up together and we read books. But it also happens in the car. It happens in restaurants. You know, my 18-month-old will flip through a book in the car, and while she's not hearing the words, she's learning the concepts of print and how to hold a book and how to turn the pages. So it's really just about making reading part of your daily routine, whether that's over breakfast or at bedtime or as a way to entertain very active children in a restaurant while you wait for your food.
You mentioned some of the books that really attract children's attention, the ones with textures and the ones with puppets and all that. We focus on those books for the very young ages and baby read too. Where can parents find good books to read that will capture their children's imagination? And how do they know if a book is age appropriate?
Well, here in Oconee County, we're very fortunate. We have a great library system that parents can take their children to. We also have some excellent consignment stores that have secondhand books that their kids can get. And just recently, Dolly Parton's Imagination Library started covering Oconee County. So it will provide a free book each month for children until age 5 if parents register for that. So that provides a lot of great books for families. As far as knowing if it's appropriate for the ages, obviously you can look at some books and, you know, say, well, this is, you know, this book is way too long for my infant to hold their attention. But really it comes down to what your children are interested in. Some of the books that are definitely babyish books are still my 4-year-old's favorites because they're about dinosaurs and we make the sounds and we play the games with it and we find the hidden mice on each page. And some of the books that are written more for 5-year-olds, my 18-month-old adores because it has a fun rhyme to it or she likes the cool colors on the pages. So as long as the content of the book is not inappropriate for your child and it piques their interest, I think it's fine. I have some, especially elementary age parents, who want to know, well, my child really wants to read this chapter book. Well, your child may not be ready to read that chapter book independently yet, but if they're interested in it and you want to read it together and the content in it is not inappropriate for the age range and does not introduce them to themes and topics that are too much for them, then by all means, read it together. It's not certainly not going to hurt for them to develop that love of reading, create that bond with their parent, and be exposed to the story itself, and can lead to some great conversations.
Well, and speaking of picking out books and different types of books, how would you explain a pattern book to a parent?
A pattern book is typically a book that follows a pattern. One that my kids are interested in right now is an Usborne series called That's Not My, and there's That's Not My Dog, That's Not My Tractor, and it's That's Not My Dog, His Tail Is Too Fluffy, That's Not My Dog, His Ears Are Too Spotted, That's Not My Dog, His Collar Is Too Smooth. And so it follows a pattern in the book, which can seem to be sort of boring as the kids get older, but right about that time it starts to seem boring as they read. Number one, you can have them interact more, but number two, that's when they start being able to quote-unquote read the book as they pick up on the pattern. Yesterday, my 4-year-old quote-unquote read the book Brown Bear, Brown Bear, What Do You See? He doesn't even know all his letters yet, and he certainly couldn't tell me which word was the word see on the page, but he took great pride in reading that book to me because he could pick up on the pattern of it and use the pictures to do it. And that's a great way to start that reading, to develop that pride and to, you know, really get them involved in the reading and understanding of reading.
So that like of repetition leads me to my next question. Some parents say that their child wants to read the same book over and over again. Is that normal, or should they try to interest them in other books?
Oh, gracious, that's normal. At one point in time, my son's favorite book was little blue truck. And I was out one night at bedtime, and he called me, and I was able to, quote unquote, read the book from memory while he looked at it in front of him, because we'd read it so many times. Again, that goes back to developing that love for reading. And by hearing it over and over, they're picking up on the patterns. They're picking up on the stories. It's that familiar piece. Just like we tend to gravitate towards familiar people, they tend to gravitate towards familiar books. It's their comfort. It's where they find joy. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't introduce other books to them. If you see a book you think they'd enjoy, or if you just can't stand to read that book one more time tonight, by all means, please try and bring in another book you think would have fun, or let's give this one a break tonight. And I would be lying if I said that Pete the Cat wasn't on vacation. I have used that line before, and we took a few day break before pulling it back into rotation. But, you know, it's very normal, and it's a great thing for them to want to read the same books.
Absolutely. My children's, their favorite one was the Sesame Street book, The Monster at the End of the Book.
We have that one.
You
yes.
have that one, so you know how it ends.
Yes.
And even though they know how it ended, it didn't matter if we read other books. They were always looking forward to that one that had a surprise at the end and have a reaction to it. So it
yes.
was, again, the bonding aspect of it. What would be your, how do you see nursery rhymes connecting to reading or songs?
I think nursery rhymes are great. They really incorporate the rhythm of books. It's almost that sing-songy aspect to it. And just because, I mean, nursery rhymes are wonderful, and we use those a lot with my kids, but there are a lot of books that are very similar in rhyme to nursery rhymes, but may not be the same old traditional nursery rhymes we grew up with that are just as beneficial as well.
Some parents of elementary school age children complain that their children still want to be read to rather than reading aloud to the parent. Should these parents insist that the child be the reader?
Well, how many adults do you know that listen to audiobooks? I mean, I listen to audiobooks sometimes. As adults, we still enjoy being read to. I mean, I still remember a middle school and high school teacher, and one of my fondest memories of them was sitting in their room as they read aloud to us. Being read aloud to is something that, as humans, we tend to enjoy. So there's no reason that we should force the child to read, but we do want to encourage them to read as they're able to do so. Whether that's, I'll read a page, you read a page, or I'll read the chapter book aloud, you read the picture book aloud. The last thing we want is for reading to become a chore for the children. I would much rather a parent read to their child every night if it's becoming a huge power struggle and making children have negative feelings towards reading than for them to force their child to read aloud and their child start to hate reading. So again, it comes back to that developing that love for reading. Yes, by all means, we want your child doing some of the reading, but let's find some ways to share that responsibility so that we're both enjoying the moment.
You can even have them point out the word, or you can read part of it, leave out that word, and have them fill it in. So you can really make it very simple, but I absolutely agree. Don't force and in any way make it a negative power struggle kind of event in the life. It should be something positive and something that they feel proud about, because when they can start filling in the words or joining in with the patterns, they get great pride from that. Or adding voices, you know,
yes.
you get to that and they make the sound of whatever you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah. At the beginning of our session, I mentioned that one of Baby Reed's goals is to prepare children so that when they go to K-4 or to kindergarten, they're already geared or ready to be successful. As a teacher, do you see a child's a difference in a child's ability to succeed in school if he or she has been read to at a young age?
Oh, definitely. There's always some outliers to every situation and always some unique factors, but overall, most definitely so. You can tell the ones who are familiar with how a book works and those concepts of print, the title, the back cover, how to hold a book, just simply that, not to mention the ability to interact with the letters and the sounds. And a child who has read 20 minutes a day, just 20 minutes, is exposed to 1.8 million words a year. When you take that and you amplify that by 5 years before they get to kindergarten, that's a major vocabulary in, you know, gap based on children who may not have that exposure to words. So they're more in tune with the English language and how to interact with it and how to read and write, and it plays into everything once they get to that school age.
Well, we're just about at the end of our session. Can you lead us with your thoughts on the importance of reading in a family?
My dad used to always tell me growing up, do as I say, not as I do, you know, which we all sort of chuckle at, but children are not as likely to do what you say. They see what you're doing. Children are always watching. It's something that as a teacher, I have to take seriously because it's not just my personal children watching. It's children all over the county who are watching to see how Miss Ellison acts at school and out, you know, I am a model for them. And parents are the same way. So if you want your child to enjoy reading, they need to see you enjoy reading. So developing that culture as a family is just as important as having them read to you. I sort of get into a bind because most of my reading is done on a Kindle or on the Kindle app on my phone. And so, like, I try to make a point to my son, like, oh, mommy's reading right now. So he doesn't think that I'm looking at my phone, scrolling through Facebook or playing a game, because I am reading. You know, as they get older and can read more independently, you know, I'll read my book while you read your book, and then let's talk about what we've read. Setting up that model of being a reader. And again, like we said, just developing that ingrained habit of reading in everyday life, restaurants, car rides, breakfast table, playroom. It doesn't have to be we're sitting down for 20 uninterrupted minutes of reading. It can be, I read a book this morning when we built blocks. I read a book about dinosaurs before we played dinosaurs. And I read a book before nap time. You know, it can be 20 minutes throughout the day. It's just making sure that reading is a regular part of life.
Well, and we know that in brain development, there are windows of opportunity very, very early on that affect long-term learning abilities. One of the research quotes that I learned many years ago was that the intelligence of a child can be affected more between 0 and 18 months than between 18 months and 18 years. So when we're talking about reading and the importance of reading, it's not just how much it affects school when they come in, but it is a brain development component of meeting those early windows of opportunity. So it's critical that parents do exactly what you're saying and build in that time. And whatever the reading material is, you know, sometimes people say comic books, but anything, or magazines, but anything that a child witnesses, as you say, or can participate in, even using magazines for projects, it's still print material, and a print-rich environment is very important. That's great. Everything you said is so spot on. Excellent advice.
Ashley, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Your words of wisdom really touched me, and I hope touched our listeners too. Listeners, we hope that you've enjoyed today's program, and if you're interested in becoming a member of the Baby Read family, please visit us on our website, www.babyread.org.